Israel was scattered in AD 70 when General Titus took over Jerusalem. And the Roman Empire just destroyed the whole of Jerusalem. In fulfillment, partially, of what Jesus prophesied would happen about the stones of the temple all being destroyed. The second temple being destroyed. And so then it points to the eschatological return, which in 1948 Israel returned. And therefore, as Israel come together as a nation, when they revert back to the Jewish dispensation, the Jews were also be having, even during this period, pre-rapture and post-rapture, there will be nations that will come against Israel more and more. And whoever those four horns are, the second prophecy will also be fulfilled eschatologically as well as historically for Zechariah. Eschatologically for the nation of Israel, there will be the second period. During the time of prosperity in the first 3.5 years, there will be a shaking of those nations that have come against Israel. So the second thing that takes place is a shaking. Now, in the church age, what is taking place here? The first period is what I call prosperous years that come about. And then, somewhere in the midst or in the depths of the prosperous years, there will be a sudden change. Second thing that takes place, there will be a shaking taking place. What is talking about in the second vision is there will be a shaking. And all this is pre-rapture. When you apply the prophecies to the church, it's pre-rapture. There will be a shaking taking place. And that is promised in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 26 and 27. Whose voice then shook the earth. Hebrews 12, verse 26, 27. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake, not only the earth, but also heaven. Yet once more indicates the removal of things that are being shaken, as of things are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving, and we are going to manifestly receive the kingdom, he says, a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. So there is, as we have pointed out in the book of Haggai last week, we said that there is a shaking going to take place in the church age, in Haggai chapter 2 verse 21, which refers to the church age shaking. And then there is a shaking taking place in Haggai chapter 2 verse 7, which refers to the shaking that takes place as far as the nation of Israel is concerned and its surrounding nations. So there are two separate shakings that is taking place. Hope you are not shaken. So here, the second thing that takes place after the prosperous period. Now I sense that we are somewhere here. We have crossed into the area that I call the Feast of Trumpets, and we are moving into the period of peace and prosperity where the earth is going to rest. But somewhere along there, perhaps at the end of this decade, perhaps immediately after the end of this decade, perhaps some years after this decade, we do not know and we don't want to speculate. But the Bible says that there will be a great period of prosperity and rest for the earth, and then there will be a great shaking that will come, and all this pre-rapture for the church. Where those things that are not established on the word will be shaken. That's what Paul talked about falling away first, if you remember. Then the third vision, in chronological order, in chapter 2, he saw a man with a measuring line in his hand. What does that line represent in that third vision? Notice here, it says in verse 6. Verse 5, verse 6. I will be like a wall of fire all around me. Now that's a good promise to claim. The Lord is a wall of fire about you. You can personalize it. And I will be the glory in her midst. Verse 6, up, up, flee from the land of the north, says the Lord. For I spread abroad, I spread you abroad like the four winds of heaven. Now we all know what a historical fulfillment is. The historical fulfillment in Zechariah's time is that God is telling them to all leave Medo-Persian Empire and follow the edict of King Cyrus and all return to that nation that God wanted them to return. So that's a historical fulfillment. The eschatological fulfillment is in the church. There will come a time of evangelizing, worldwide evangelizing, in the eschatological fulfillment of the Jewish dispensation. There will also be a period of worldwide evangelization, because during that period of the 3.5 years here, there will be what we call the two witnesses that rise. Together with, remember, the 144,000. And they go about all the earth evangelizing and speaking about Yahweh God. It's a Jewish dispensation there. And so we see the progression involved. Incidentally, the pre-rapture, those three things are also taking place right now simultaneously in Israel. Because Israel has already been formed in 1948 and we are already living post-Israel formation. And so during that first period of prosperity, Israel will keep on getting prosperous. It will continue to keep on getting prosperous. And then during the period of shaking, as the church is being shaken and surrounding things are being shaken, so there will also be a shaking. And the third area here, as there is world evangelization, there will also be, to a certain end, many Jews who turn to the Lord in the last day of revival also, and they may get in under the church age and not under the Jewish dispensation. But for the church age, which we are most concerned with, the third vision represents worldwide evangelization. Look at it. It says here in verse 9, surely, chapter 2 verse 9, surely I will shake my hand against them, and they shall become spoil for their servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, all daughter of Zion. For behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people. What is he talking about? That plumb line, that measuring line. Normally you use that plumb line when you want to build something. You want to extend a building. You want to do something. That's an old-fashioned way of doing a plumb line. So that represents an expansion that's taking place. And that will take place in the church age. There will be a worldwide evangelization that takes place immediately after the shaking. And then the fourth vision, chapter 3. The vision of Joshua the high priest. There was a historical fulfillment in that it was a real person named Joshua, and Zechariah had a word for him. But those of you who may not be familiar with the Bible way of prophecy, think not of the fact that it's marvelous how when Abraham went to sacrifice his son Isaac, it was a perfect pictorial example of Jesus Christ, represented by Isaac, dying for the sins of the world. And yet, for Abraham, it was a real struggle and story. I mean, it was not just play acting and drama. It was real. God did tell him to bring the son out. How marvelous the ways of God that human lives become prophetic. So in the same way, when Zechariah had a word historically for Joshua the high priest, who was the name of that person at that time, there was a historical fulfillment to encourage them as they were building the temple. At the same time, Joshua the high priest represents Jesus, our high priest. It also represents, of course, as I mentioned in the book of Haggai, as we bring it forth into Haggai, what Zerubbabel representing the church and Joshua representing the restoration of the Jewish temple worship. Here we see in chapter 3, verse 1, He showed me Joshua standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing in his at his right hand to oppose him. Now that Joshua represents Jesus, our head and the body of Christ. It's all filthy and dirty. That is a powerful prophecy. It has a multiple fulfillment. It's a multiple fulfillment of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sin. It's a multiple fulfillment of the historical fulfillment in Zechariah of Joshua the high priest. It's a multiple fulfillment also of the church, where Jesus is the head, we are his body. So we are in him, there is all the rags and the dirt there. And just before the wedding day of the rapture, we're going to be clothed with glory from on high. Now that fourth vision is the last day glory that will come forth, where Satan himself will personally try to challenge the church. And the church will be clothed with power from on high. A special dispensation. And in one day, now that one day could represent a short period of time for the church, but that one day, he is going to rapture the church at the last hour of that one day. The church age is measured in hours. The Jewish age is measured in days. Prophetically speaking. And so it says here, in verse 8 and 9, it's obvious that Joshua the high priest represents Jesus. Verse 9, For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon the stone are seven eyes. I represent again the church age, seven spirits of God. Turn to Revelation chapter 5 verse 6. And I look and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the world. The lamb that was slain, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So the fourth vision represents the last day revival. Now don't be too concerned. You say, what you mean revival for the church? The most powerful, only one day. That one day has been a long one. Remember what Peter says in Acts 2? And in the last days, God will pour His Spirit. Look at it, we are still in the last days after 2,000 years. If you are familiar with prophecy, the church age is measured in days and hours. The Jewish dispensation is measured in weeks and in days. So here we are in the last day. Peter was talking about last days. This Zechariah fourth vision is about the last day. You know what I believe, the last day? The last day is the last day began at the beginning of the 20th century when God started pouring out the Holy Spirit and preparing the church. And that last day revival, the Pentecostal revival that was released. He said, why didn't I include the Reformation? Because we have to be scriptural. They started in Acts 2 with an outpouring and speaking in tongues. And there were many moves and revival. Great men of God, John Wesley, Charles Wesley, George Whitfield, and Charles G. Finney. But our century is significant. It's possibly, the last century, last great century of 100 years that men will see. I believe we will live past 2000 AD, right? Don't get too worried. Last century, wow. Some of you are thinking what to do. Like some heretic somewhere, you know, saying that Jesus is going to come in September, don't know when and when. Gets everybody packing. There's a heretic there. And we will possibly live past it, and no man knows the hour or the day.